Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is Ken Foster. Welcome to the Heal It Show, the show where we awaken the healer within, elevate the mind, and ignite the innate intelligence in the body. And today we're diving into a life-changing conversation, how to use the principles of thriving to heal not only your body, but your mind, the emotions, and the spirit. We live in a world where there's stress, fear, uncertainty, and often overshadow our natural state of vitality. Can you relate? I bet you can. But healing isn't something that happens outside of us, in spite of what a lot of people think. It's a state we activate from within. The principles of thriving remind us that we're not victims of circumstance. We're powerful creators of our internal environment. When we shift our mindset, align our energy, and reconnect with our deeper wisdom, the body responds, the mind clears, and the spirit leads. So today, I'm inviting you into a new paradigm, one where healing is not a struggle, it's a return to balance, to purpose, to inner strength, to truth of who you are. So we're going to explore how to awaken that state of thriving within you today. And in every cell, every thought, and every moment of your life. If that's of interest to you, I'm really glad that you're here with me. You know, healing begins with conscious awareness. Before the body can shift, the mind must awaken. Awareness interrupts the old patterns, and often it is the door to transformation. So what do I mean? Well, if there's something in your body right now, and you're wondering, what is that I need to shift? I can guarantee that there is something going on, most likely emotional, underneath the surface, whether you're aware of it or not. Maybe you've stressed yourself. Maybe you've put yourself in a place where the body has stopped responding to stimulants that might heal it from the outside. It's something that you have to work on the inside. It's the mindset of healing. So we heal, you know, it's a mind, body, spirit energy is what we talk about here in this show. So the mind is over the emotions over actions, actions over results, and results over destiny. So the mind is, if there's clogged emotions under there, what happens about 90% of the time, it results in a physical ailment. So it's really core to get to the core of whatever that is to start the healing process. I've seen people heal instantly, myself including, as soon as I got to that level, right? As soon as I let go of some of the disempowering beliefs that I was holding on to, healing happened instantly for me. So your beliefs create your biology, and we're going to be taking a deep dive in that today. We're going to be talking to an author who wrote the book on thriving. And, you know, thriving is having the right mindset, having the right expectation, and having the tone. When I say tone, the energy, the vibration, the feeling within our own being that impacts the immune system. And when you are in an up state, when your neuroscience has showed this, we've got a lot of science behind this right now. When your mind is releasing endorphins, when you're laughing, when you're happy, when you're in a great up state, okay, your body starts to heal. It starts, you start to give it the energy to heal. It's absolutely amazing how powerful our mind is. You know, placebo effect. When you think of the placebo effect, they've now shown to where they've got it to up to like 90%, okay, on these placebo studies. So why is that? Well, the mind is incredibly powerful. So we're going to be able to help you maybe think through some of the ways that you've been disempowering yourself on this show so that you can empower yourself, right, and let go of some of the areas that you may be thinking, you know what, I'm sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of having these health issues or stop-start patterns. I get healthy, then I get sick, You don't have to have those, all right? I'm going to give you the principles today along with my guest to break that. So, but it's up to you, all right? It's up to you. You have to be hungry to change. You have to be ready to reconnect maybe with your purpose, with a higher purpose maybe, and be able to show in your own life to realize the principles that we're going to be talking about today. Welcome back, everybody. Hello, Rand. How are you today?
Thanks, Ken. It's great to be here with you again.
Yeah, it's great to be with you too, Rand. And Rand's been on our shows a few times, and I always like to have him back. You know, we're putting him on the Helix show today because he's got such wise areas. You got wisdom. That's what I was trying to say. You got a lot of wisdom, so I appreciate that. And those of you that don't know Rand, he is a transformational author, visionary entrepreneur, and a lifelong student of human potential. He's got some groundbreaking work that he's put together in his book called Thriving. It's inspiring readers to unlock their inner power and create lives filled with purpose, vitality, and meaning. With over four decades of experience guiding leaders, teams, and organizations through major transitions, Rand blends timeless wisdom with practical tools that elevate resilience, conscious leadership, and emotional well-being. He's known for his clarity, compassion, and deep insight into human experience. He empowers people to transcend limitations, break old patterns, and cultivate the mindset needed to not just survive, but to thrive. Rand, like I said, it's great to have you here again. So I guess, you know, I just want to take a deep dive into the principles of thriving. As you heard, you know, a lot of people out there were coming into the quote, the holidays, the flu season, all these seasons that have been made up, right? And, you know, if you buy into it, you start to go, oh, well, you know, yeah, I guess I better prepare to get ill. And we go and we buy all the NyQuils and the aspirins and everything else, stock up, get ready to get to be ill. You know, I just got a feeling that this isn't the way to go. What do you say to that?
Well, so right. It's a very complicated time of the year for just lots and lots of people. And it's a push-pull kind of situation, it seems to me. You know, they're yearning to have the holidays and to be celebrating and happy and honoring traditions. And at the same time, they're also aware from their past that there's a lot of things about it that are complicated. Maybe it's travel, maybe it's spending time with a relative that it's tough to spend time with. There's money issues. A lot of people think the holidays are all about giving gifts and buying gifts and trying to make people happy based on that. And so it's a complicated time. And as you pointed out in your introduction, Ken, we are in charge. We can make choices about this. I was just writing to somebody this morning, less is more. Yeah. And that's one of the root issues that I think people need to embrace more, because there's a lot of overwhelm in general in people's lives, and they're looking for more, more, more. But by pursuing more, they often end up short of what they're looking for, and they feel depleted, actually.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, there's all those things that you just mentioned that happen in the holidays, they create stress and anxiety in many people. And, you know, it's been shown time and time again that, you know, stress is not good for the body. And, you know, when you're in a stressful situation and stress isn't something that's outside of you. Stress is something that's created inside of you by your perception of the world. So if you know, some people can have, you know, 25 family members around them, some of them are kind of crazy and stuff, and they don't feel any stress at all. Others are very sensitive to that. And if somebody says the wrong thing or looks the wrong way, you know, they tend to react to that. And
That's right.
a lot of times people have past memories of people where they got upset or they got harmed or somebody says something. You know, that stuff, if you're in that place, you know, I know me, before I get to formally gather what I'm doing, I'm like, remember something that happened in the past with a family member? What I do is I practice forgiveness. Okay, and I'm going to cope with it for several days on one person just because I don't want to show up for that energy. I don't want to be the one reacting, right? How about you?
Yeah, no, it's what you've said all along here, Ken. As usual, I agree with completely. You know, there's a process. It doesn't have to necessarily be a deeply psychological or even in the world of physics. But there's the stimulus and then there's a response. And if you let there be a gap in the time between that stimulus where something's happening that is making you upset and a pause before you respond, that pause is where you can make some choices. You can choose to take a deep breath. You can choose to get up from the table and say, you know, I need to go to the bathroom, or I need to take a little walk outside just to stretch or something. That moment.
I love that. You know, one of the things I do is if somebody says something that I don't necessarily think or agree with, right? Think it's right or agree with. I don't say this to them. I say it to myself. I just say, interesting point of view.
Yeah.
I say that to get distance. I say it to get distance. It's just an interesting point of view. Doesn't have to, I don't have to take it on. I don't have to argue it. I don't have to resolve. I can just listen. And I think that tool alone can help a lot of people out there.
Well, I is so completely right. I like to say that one of the elements to being healthy and happy is to be curious. Being curious about life, about the world, about how you're evolving. But curiosity has a tremendous bonus. When you're curious, when you come into a conflict with somebody and you, instead of clenching your fists, gritting your teeth, you just shift your approach and be curious. And you say, hey, that's interesting. I'm curious, actually, you can use that word. I'm curious what led you to think that or say that. And then just pursue with some more questions as they discuss it. Doesn't require you in any way to change your point of view, but it avoids the disagreement, the rebuttals, all those things that are unlikely to make the situation better or make you feel better.
100%.
And the benefit is you could come away understanding the person a little bit better, and you might have preserved the relationship too.
I love that. And, you know, if you do get emotionally charged, this came from King Solomon at the time. He said, you know, the phrase that we use is my favorite phrase in the whole world, actually. It's this too shall pass.
Oh, beautiful.
Right, you know, you got emotion, you got something going on, and you just go, you know what, this too shall pass, and you're feeling really great. You gotta remember, this too shall pass. It'll keep you a little humble, right? You know, tools we can use.
Well, I this might be a good time to share an equation. It's an emotional equation. I came across this from the book, Chip Connelly's book. Chip, I know Chip. He actually wrote a beautiful testimonial for my book. He's an amazing fellow, and one of his several books is Emotional Equations, and one of these really pertains to what we're talking about. He said disappointment equals, this is an equation, equals expectations minus reality.
I love it. Yeah.
And if you just
expectation minus reality,
that's right. And that's if there's a gap there,
yeah,
that's going to be a disappointment. And again, who's who's running the show here? As I like to say, who's driving your bus?
Yeah.
And you can choose how much disappointment you can bring in.
Yeah.
How much of your expectations are realistic?
Yeah.
You know, I like to, I've worked at this over the last decade or so, trying not to have expectations, letting things be. I prepare, I go into things in the best way I possibly can. But at that point, I let go. I let go because what's going to happen is in most ways out of my control anyway.
Yeah. Well, what I do is I use the word allow. Okay. So that takes me out of triangular control, and I just allow. I allow things to unfold the way they are. I allow people to speak what they're going to speak. I allow the universe to be the way the universe is. There's an allowing in this, and as we let go and we allow, then all of a sudden we get to let go of that energy. I'll give one more tool, and then I got to take a break. A lot of people are empathic, especially people that watch this show. So if you're empathic and you take on other people's feelings, okay, you feel it. You walk into the room, everybody's like some tension in the room. You feel that, right? Well, I'll give you three questions you can ask yourself to be able to release that really quick. And the first question is this mine? Is this energy you just walked into yours? Are you feeling something that's yours? Is it someone else's or is it something else's? All right. Something else might be the environment, or there's a smell in the room, or there's a 5G in the room, or something that's impacting you. Once you can acknowledge it, you can most of the time you can just release it. Right. So, all right. Listen, I got to take a break. When we come back, Rand has a book out. It's called Thriving, and we're going to talk a little bit about the book when we get back. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'll be right back with my guest, Rand Selleck, in just a minute. I want to remind you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're part of my listening audience, you can jot down the YouTube address for our show. It's youtube.com/ at the Courage Network, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork. Be sure to subscribe so that everybody can get these shows. You can get them every week. And of course, you can pass them on to your family and your friends. So hope you can do that for us. All right, back to Rand. Rand, I want to dive into your book a little bit. I want to put it on the screen so people can see about the book. You know, it's called Thriving and How to Create a Healthier, Happier and More Prosperous Life. I think everybody wants to create that, Rand. And let me just ask you, what stops us from creating the healthier, happier and thriving life?
It's a big question. And of course, the answer is each of us is different. And even if we had the same set of things we're saying about what's holding us back from thriving, we'd mean slightly different things. So There are a series of things that hold us back. Some of these things are in our everyday life. I'll give you an example. Words. Words matter. But sometimes people use words like should rather than could. They say yes, but, almost holding up their hand, which means that they've kind of stopped listening. And what they're about to say is negating what you said. Instead of saying yes and, which adds then to the point that was just made, they're saying they're busy, a sense of being overwhelmed, rather than saying, hey, I'm delightfully scheduled, showing that you made some choices that you're happy about. So words is one of these many things. There's also voices that are recurring voices in our head. They may be from mom and dad, from an early teacher, from a boss, and they're telling you things. Maybe they said it out of trying to be encouraging, maybe out of some love, but they don't reflect who you are. or who you'd like to become. And you have to listen to that and say, wait a minute, those are not voices I want to listen to anymore. And we also have our own voices. And sometimes what we need to do is talk to ourselves with words of encouragement, with words of confidence, rather than words that take away from us. So talk to ourselves rather than listen to ourselves.
You know, I think there's a big piece in that. I worked over 30 years as a life coach, business strategist, and I can tell you a lot of people, their self-talk is just they wouldn't talk to anybody the way they talk to themselves. You know, and quite frankly, it's an old habit. It's a habit that people form, and you can break any habit. You know, you got to replace it with something good. One of the things that, you know, like Rand's saying, replace it with kindness to yourself. Replace it with gratitude for your body, your mind, your life. And if we could do that, we can start to feel an energy within us, and it really can shift. It can shift that quick, honestly. So, you know, one of the things I think I want to mention with the words people say, a lot of times we use the word, I am tired, I am overwhelmed, I am this is that. Tired is one of those words. When you're saying I am, you're giving your mind is giving your body a command. All right. So better to say my body needs a rest, right? Mm. Better to say, you know, oh, I've got, you know, if you're overwhelmed, better to say, I'm going to accomplish three things today that'll make me feel great. You know, we got to watch that inner language, because we give that body command all the time. So if you're stressed out, you're going, I'm stressed out, I'm upset, I'm this, I'm that. The I am before that is giving yourself a command, and you know, you may not want like the command you're giving your body, right? You give
very good, very good. Wow, that's excellent. Excellent. I really hope your listeners are listening carefully to this, and maybe even taking notes. I'm taking notes as we go along here. And I want to share also what I consider to be the big three things that a lot of people do that lead to emotional unhealthiness, in no particular order. But one is self-sabotaging. It's a very common thing. Self-sabotaging basically means that you're saying, I'm not good enough. I can't do something. If I apply for that job, they won't take me. These limit you right from the get-go. And I like to encourage people by saying, look, even if there's only a 1 in 100 chance of that going forward in a positive way, you got to take that chance. What's the downside? So self-sabotaging is one of the three. A second one is letting go. Ken, you mentioned that a few minutes ago. Letting go. Letting go is, of the three emotionally healthy things to do, was the hardest for me, because I thought so much of my accomplishment and so-called success in life was because I was in control. But the reality was, with the help of my terrific children, adult children, and my wife of now almost 45 years, I began realizing that what I controlled wasn't nearly as much as I thought it was. And it boiled down after further investigation that I only controlled four things. I controlled my attitude. I controlled the amount of effort I was willing to put into something. I controlled my behavior, usually, back to the stimulus response thing. I can then control the choices I made about what actions I was willing to take. Everything else after that was not about control. It was about influence. And I could influence positively or negatively depending on how I was interacting and how I was behaving. So that this idea of letting go is a huge thing. And what I like to do with people is say, imagine something you've not been able to let go of. You'd like to. So I say, okay, hold up your fist. You know, Ken, you could do this with me now if you'd like. Yeah. Hold up your fist. Imagine you're holding on to something you really want to let go of. Hold on tightly, so tightly you can look at your knuckles and you see they're lighter than the rest of your hand. Then turn your fist over. You're still holding on to this thing you want to let go of. You keep saying, I want to let go of that. But for years now, you've not been able to let go. Your knuckles on the other side of your fist are lighter than the rest of your hand. But then, kind of because you realize you are in charge, I like to joke, maybe because you read Rand's book, you decide you're going to let go. And you open your hand, you wiggle your fingers, you wiggle your thumb, and magically your hand rises because you've let go of something that was heavy and holding you back for a very long period of time. It's a very, very pleasant moment.
Yeah.
So I encourage people to do that exercise.
That's really, it's a really important piece. And you saw me up to put a pen in my hand, and then, you know, the pen in my hand, I'm holding on. Then I make a choice. I'm letting it go and I drop it. Right. And that's how fast we can do this. As Rand just suggested, you can do it that fast. You don't have to hold on to your resentments, your regrets, your worries, your concerns, your guilt, shame, remorse. You don't have to hold on to any of that. It's actually a choice. And,
you know,
some people think, well, this is really hard. Well, you know, if you're going to make it hard, that's up to you. But if you decide, you know what, maybe it is easier than I think to let it go. Just try it. Work with that. I know, there's a part here too. And Rand, I want to get to in, this self-love. It's part of self-love. So the opposite of self-sabotaging is self-love. So if you're not self-sabotaging, you're in a place of loving and accepting yourself as you are. And a lot of people don't do that. I know when I first started, I didn't start loving me. I didn't really care for me when I started on this path. But eventually I started realizing, well, you know, if I don't start acknowledging my strengths, my courage, the love that I have inside of me, I'm going to keep out picturing people that are coming in showing me how much I don't love myself, if that makes any sense. Because we always out picture what's inside of us. In fact, it's perfect. This is designed ideally. This universe is designed perfectly. What's within is out picturing your life without. So if you really understand that, you get it, you start realizing, oh, okay, I don't necessarily like the way my office looks. Let's say I'm unorganized. Okay, I got stuff everywhere. Well, okay, there's something going on inside of yourself saying to you, well, you know, unorganized office is okay. See, there's some acceptance there. But when you finally shift, you go, no, you know what? I've learned the most productive people in the world have clean offices, clean desks, and they focus on one thing at a time. Oh, interesting. Maybe I'm going to try that for a week. And then we shift it. So it's always an inside shift first, and then it appears outside.
So good, Ken. I like to say that the most important relationship we'll ever have in our lives is the one with ourselves.
Yeah.
And this idea of self-love is huge. And if I could, I'd like to just explore that just a little.
Well, listen, bit. I gotta pay a bill, so we're gonna go take a break, and then when we come back, we're gonna explore this concept and how people can really take a deep dive into it for themselves before. I'll be right.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm talking to Rand Selleck. He's the author of the book Thriving, How to Create a Healthier, Happier, and More Prosperous Life. And you can get this book on Amazon, other places we can get the book, Rand.
Yeah, it's available at all the independents, Barnes & Noble, and so on. And I'm also very pleased to say that I narrated the audiobook, which is now available at Amazon and Audible and iTunes. So have a listen if you're an audio person. People are telling me that, my humanity is just coming out in this book. It's great for me to have been the reader.
You've got an energy, a frequency, a vibration that permeates the airwaves when you speak, and it's interesting. We don't talk about that much, about how books can impact us when the author has a wisdom and realization of the principles they're talking about, how that impacts us just by listening to the book. So want to encourage you to get it. Rand, okay, let's take a deeper dive into this self-acceptance, self-love, that
Yeah.
piece.
Well, three things. One, I just want to try to pop the balloon where people say self-love is a bad thing because it's all about ego and yourself. That's not what self-love is. Self-love is just taking an honest look at yourself, appreciating who you are, appreciating the fact that you're evolving, you're a better person than you are today than you were 5 or 10 years ago, whatever it is. And just being committed to doing the best you can. One of the elements that is key to self-love is forgiving yourself. This is one of the three emotionally healthy things to do is forgiving others. We can talk about that separately, but at this moment, I want to just explore this forgiving yourself. Who around has not made a mistake? Who around has not done something? They said, "Yeah, I didn't do that very well. I hurt somebody. I wouldn't have done it that way today, but I did do it a few years ago, and I'm not happy about that. I'm disappointed with myself." And if you hold on to that mistake, that you haven't forgiven yourself, it's a heavy burden, and you can be walking around. I've met people who've walked around with something for decades, and when you walk around with a heavy rock on you in your backpack, it slows you up. It makes going uphill a lot harder. So you got to forgive yourself, and the key to that is being honest and saying, "Look, I'm not going to point the finger at the boss or my spouse or somebody else." You got to say, "Yes, I was a central figure in this story, and here's what I did. Yeah, there might have been other people around who contributed to the problem, but I have to take full responsibility, and I'm going to look at it honestly and closely because I don't want to do it again, and I want to improve and be a better person."
100%. And there's I personally always look at my part in things, right? And very rarely, if somebody's upset or something's going on, very rarely do I not have a part in it. And that's the part that we're to forgive, to release, to let go. For you that are watching today, I'm not sure how long it'll be up on my website since we're redoing this website, but you can go to Ken D. Foster.com, KenDFoster.com, and scroll down on the page and you can get my release process. This is a process that has helped thousands of people to release old patterns, guilt, shame, remorse, coulda, shoulda, wouldas, harms, hurts, regrets, resentments, and all of that. And it's a process that starts from childhood and you go up to the current time. I want to encourage you to do this before the new year so that you can bring in what we would call tabula rasa, right? Blank slate in your mind where you've let go of all this emotional baggage and you're now starting the new year with you're on fire. And unlike a lot of people that help start stop patterns in the new year, this will help you not have that so you don't start setting a resolution and then be part of the 80% of people within 3 weeks that stop that resolution. You'll be able to manifest what you want in the new year, but you got to let go of the emotional baggage. So go there, my website, kendfoster.com, scroll down and go ahead and get the release process. You'll be glad you did. Rand, rewiring our brain for thriving, okay, is we're talking kind of the release part, the forgiveness part, the self-acceptance and self-love piece. But once we start to accept ourselves and once we start to acknowledge ourselves daily, don't look for acknowledgement anymore outside of yourself. Okay. If you're waiting for somebody to, to acknowledge you, You may be waiting a long time. And I'll tell you another quick story. I years ago, I wanted somebody to throw me a birthday party. It never happened. So I threw myself a birthday party. 60 people showed up, and somebody put me in the center of these 60 people in a circle, and every person walked up to me and told me how much I've contributed to their life. Amazing. I never needed, I went, wow, this is amazing. So I got all that out self-acknowledgement a piece, okay? But then there was still this lack inside, like I still needed more acknowledgement. I went, wait a second, this isn't working. I've got to start acknowledging myself every day, so I don't need self-acknowledgement outside. I mean, it was a beautiful experience, don't get me wrong, but did it fill me up to where I didn't look for somebody to acknowledge me? No, it didn't. So we need to start that, reverse that cycle.
Yeah, very good, very good. A few minutes ago, Ken, you mentioned a beautiful thing from our sacred texts. That too shall pass. And just as it ties into what we've been talking about, I'd like to share. Here we are at the end of the holiday season for just nearly everybody on the planet has some holiday about this time of year. It's what's called the Ten Commandments of self-compassion. And let me just take a minute, and there's just 10 of them. They all start with thou shalt, of course, 10 commandments. Thou shalt accept yourself completely. Thou shalt schedule time for yourself. Give yourself permission to do nothing sometimes. Be your own best friend. Not say yes when you want to say no. Thou shalt not need to have others' approval. Thou shalt not try to prove yourself to anyone. Not aim to be perfect. Not be afraid to be wrong. And the 10th one, thou shalt not feel guilty. So this is it's in my book, Self-Compassion, the 10 Commandments. Again, these are practices. If you're feeling yourself stuck, you got to look. You got to, shine a bright light, and maybe take a look. Which of those 10 are you struggling with that you're just not doing? Leon Festinger in the 1950s came up with a theory. It's called the human comparison theory, where we're constantly comparing ourselves to someone else. And this leads to all kinds of problems. It gets in the way of us defining success for ourselves. It gets in the way of our happiness, our health, and our prosperity. So, comparison theory, look that in the eye and say, I'm going to compare myself to my former self. It's a great quote from Ernest Hemingway. He said, "Nobility is not being superior to your fellow man. True nobility is being superior to your former self."
Well, that brings in one last piece for that I'd like to share, and that is, we think we're out there creating and doing a lot of things in the world, but you think you don't have what it takes. A lot of people, I know I did it when I was young, and I've learned over the years, it wasn't about learning more. It wasn't about doing more, being more, having more. It was about remembering. It was about a place to remember what's within me. And when I connect deeply to that infinite being that's in me and in you and in everybody else, when I connect to that, what happens is that the ideas, the understanding, the wisdom, the people show up in my world. And when I allow them to come in, they have the answers to what my greatest challenge may be, or I have the answers. But it always shows up perfect when we start to understand, let's shift it from trying to get more to trying to remember more. All right. I'm going to leave us with that. I want to give you the final word, Rand. Before I do, I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Ken, and I'm just sitting here laughing because here you got two guys that have built lots of business. Well, you've built a massive business. I've built several businesses, and we're talking some really deep heart things that we learned over the years that could really help people during this holiday season. So, Rand, I'm just laughing because 15 years ago, I sure would not, maybe 30 years ago, I wouldn't have had this conversation. Okay. Final thoughts here. What are we going to leave our audience? Because this is going to play right through before the holidays or right in the holiday season. So here we go.
Well, I want to leave with two bits. One is that we live in two worlds. Take a look at this during this holiday season. We live in the doing world. This is all about having lists. This is all about having a title, having goals, making money and spending money and spending our time in various ways. But the other world, that's the exterior world. But there's an internal world, which is the being world. What kind of person are you? And this really relates very much to your definition of success. I think for me, I consider myself successful when I am at peace, when I can say I am listening well, I am respectful, I am kind, being a certain kind of person, not the doing so much. I can feel fulfilled. It's a lot of feelings in the B list. So I encourage you during this holiday season to just take a look at the being, who you are being, not so much the doing. And then my last closing comment is, look, we're all very powerful, a lot more powerful than sometimes we realize. And we're powerful. We get on this path to thriving and being healthy and happy and prosperous by making choices about who we spend our time with. We make choices about our habits. We've got to take a honest look at the inventory. Which habits are good? Which are not good? We take a look at who we're spending time with and how we're spending our time, but we're also taking a look and making choices about our feelings. Being positive is one of the most important. Being grateful is another. These are really bedrock elements to living a terrific life. And so I wish this for you. It's if I can call it a gift to you, that's my absolute desire to inspire and encourage you to go in this
Thanks,
direction.
Rand. And I want to just let everybody know one more time. We'll put the book up on the screen. It's called Thriving: How to Create a Healthier and Happier and More Prosperous Life. Rand Selig. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever great books are sold. And I hope you'll do that. Rand, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being kind, being generous with your time, being joyful, being happy, and being that amazing example that others on that are watching can follow. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Ken, for having me as your guest and for your very kind words and all that you're doing. You're an amazing, terrific person, Ken.
Thank you, Rand. So are you, brother. Take care.